From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Hello listener, welcome back to the English service from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today, it's me Steve again in here. Anyway, the date is a good 20th of February 2020, a very good day. And in this good day, we'll bring you more good information about Indonesia. The first one will be coming up in the news, so making sure that you will stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesia ready to assist WHO members in facing COVID-19. Minister Erlangga Hartarto said, strong economic relation between Indonesia and Japan will still be important in the future. Now the news in details. In dealing with the coronavirus or COVID-19, members of the World Health Organization, WHO, need to cooperate to reduce the spread of the COVID-19 originating from Wuhan, China. Head of the Indonesian Ministry of Health's Overseas Cooperation Bureau, Acep Somantri, after speaking at the diplomatic forum held by Voice of Indonesia at the Yusuf Ronodipuro Auditorium, RRI Jakarta on Wednesday, said the WHO member countries need to share information about the situation and positive cases in each country. According to Acep, the cooperation includes capacity building, especially for countries that do not yet have an adequate health system to deal with the COVID-19 outbreak. He also said that Indonesia is a country that has a good health system and has been tested. He emphasized that the Ministry of Health officially answered the international doubt that Indonesia has adequate resources in coping with virus outbreaks, including the coronavirus. There are a number of questions from the world. We do not know who is asking, who seems to doubt the capacity of our laboratory. But the Ministry of Health has responded with a release, and then we also invited reporters, WHO, and other countries that wanted to know how we work. They come to our laboratory at Balitbangkes Research and Development Center for Health on Jalan Percetakan Negara. Furthermore, Acep Somantri said that the Indonesian Ministry of Health is also ready to provide assistance in the field of medical equipment and health experts to countries in need. In addition, Indonesia is currently also developing a new vaccine through a Bio Farma as a vaccine manufacturer in Indonesia. Previously, President Joko Widodo offered assistance to the Chinese government in dealing with the coronavirus. The Japanese embassy in Indonesia held a reception of Emperor Naruhito's birthday in Jakarta on Tuesday. In his remarks representing the Indonesian government, Coordinating Minister for the Economy, Erlangga Hartarto, said that Indonesia had a great interest in relations with Japan, which is based on the principle of equality, mutual respect, and benefits. He also stated that Indonesia's economic relation will remain important in the future. In the field of economic cooperation, Indonesia and Japan have many aspects to explore. Minister Erlangga believes that strong economic relation between Indonesia and Japan will remain important in the future.
Bilateral trade value between Indonesia and Japan reached $31.57 billion and ranked 3 as a top export destination for Indonesia, valued at $15.9 billion. In terms of investment, Japan was also the third Indonesia biggest investor in 2019, with total FDI valued at $4.3 billion. I believe the strong and mutual economic cooperation will remain significant in the future, with potential of further improvement. Both countries have succeeded in substantially concluding in general review of IGPM and ASEAN negotiation last year. This progress on FTA negotiations shall become momentum for Indonesia and Japan to expand our economic cooperation in the future.
Meanwhile, Japanese Ambassador to Indonesia Masafumi Ishii said that the reception this time was special because there were many new things to be celebrated. In addition to celebrating the Emperor's birthday, the next thing worth celebrating, he said, is the holding of the Tokyo Olympics and the Paralympics in the next few months. Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati has not revised the 2020 economic growth projections of 5.3%, although global conditions are facing the threat of a slowdown due to the spread of the coronavirus. As reported by Antara, Minister Sri Mulyani in a press conference related to the development of the 2020 state revenue and expenditure budget in Jakarta on Wednesday said that the coronavirus could affect the global economy, remembering that the economy of the People's Republic of China is the second largest economy in the world and contributing to 17% of global gross domestic products. However, China has tried its best to restrain the spread of the coronavirus by maintaining population mobility so that this incident is still under control and has not yet reached the pandemic stage. Deputy Minister of Trade Jerry Sambuaga and Trade Commissioner of the European Union Phil Hogan are committed to completing negotiations on the European Union-Indonesia Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement before the end of this year. During the meeting, Indonesia submitted a proposal to accelerate the agreement negotiation, and it was welcomed positively by the European Union. As quoted by Antara in Jakarta on Wednesday, Jerry Sambuaga remarked, "The approval of the Indonesian proposals reflected the important role of Indonesia's trade." According to him, this acceleration's commitment will be a way to realize the interests so that products and services from Indonesia have greater access in the international market, especially in the European Union. He believes that through constructive and intensive dialogue, differences in views and interests of both parties can be bridged, including complaints about some Indonesian products that are difficult to enter Europe and European interests related to new paradigms about products that have an impact on the environment. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian Ministry of Industry stated that its side would facilitate potential investors, especially from South Korea, to encourage the realizations of the development of industrial estates in Indonesia. This was conveyed by Director General of Regional Resilience and International Industrial Access of the Ministry of Industry, Dodi Rahadi, before dozens of prospective South Korean investors who attended the Industrial Park in Indonesia seminar in Jakarta on Wednesday. He also explained that the central government through the Ministry of Industry and other ministries or institutions specifically oversees the accelerations of the development of these industrial zones. He also mentioned that South Korea ranked 7 in the realization of foreign investment in Indonesia in 2019 with a total investment of $1.070 million. However, the realization of this investment declined compared to 2017 and 2018. The government of Banda Aceh City through its regional tourism office is targeting 1,000 tourism activities throughout 2020 to attract tourists visit to Banda Aceh as the capital of Aceh province. As reported by Antara News Agency, head of the Banda Aceh City Tourism Office Iskandarin Banda Aceh on Wednesday said that of the 1,000 activities, 16 of them are included in the official calendar. He further stated that the 16 tourism activities consist of the Grand Maulid and cross-country motor racing that was held last week. In addition, Sumatra's Ontel Bicycle Festival will be held next March, and a filter coffee festival for millennials and cultural marches will be participated by all communities. The death toll due to coronavirus infections continues to surge, and it reaches 2,120 worldwide on Thursday. Most of the casualties are Chinese, especially in Wuhan, Hubei province, which is the center of the coronavirus spread. Quoted from CNN, as many as 2,112 people died in China. Meanwhile, 8 others are in 6 countries: Iran, 2 people; Hong Kong, 2 people; Taiwan, 1 person; Japan, 1 person; the Philippines and France, each 1. The number increased after the Hubei province health service reported 108 new deaths. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Listener, here's today's commentary. The title is Better Disaster Mitigation Expected If Disaster Mitigation Bill Is Ratified. Indonesia is a country with high potential of natural disaster. When disaster happens, it takes lots of lives. Many casualties make the people wonder, how is the mitigation done by Indonesian government and the people? Indonesia has several laws about disaster handling. There is a law number 24/2007 on disaster mitigation. This law mandates the country to handle disaster. However, it is still deemed to have weaknesses, so that disaster mitigation efforts until now are judged non-maximal. In general, disaster risk handling so far is not systematically implemented in specific and various disaster domains. The handling is mainly executed only during emergency, reactive when disaster hits, with minimum data and information, not carried out proactively to prevent or even to reduce impacts from disaster risks. Central government had issued policies about disaster risk handling in the form of regulation and laws. But in implementation, they have not included proper mechanism, mainly in regions or regencies. The region's capacity in handling disaster risk is still behind perfection. Regional policy in disaster mitigation is not integrated yet in the regional budget. Until now, uncertain direction and policy are reflected in the reactive and emergency actions in facing disaster risks. President Joko Widodo in National Coordinating Meeting on Disaster Mitigation 2020 in Sentul, Bogor, West Java, some time ago, asked the related ministers to strengthen disaster mitigation. Following up the president's instruction about disaster mitigation strengthening and management, the Social Affairs Ministry had prepared some measures. Basically, the Social Affairs Ministry supported and encouraged the disaster mitigation bill discussion that is included in the National Legislation Program, or in Indonesia, it's called Prolegnas. The key substance in the bill is about disaster handling management, beginning from prevention, mitigation, emergency alertness, emergency response, emergency transition, reconstruction, and rehabilitation. Besides, related parties' involvement is necessary in handling disaster. Until now, Social Affairs Ministry and the National Disaster Mitigation Agency have performed maximally. Still, disaster impact is quite great. Therefore, the bill discussion needs to pay more attention to a more systematic mechanism, and all parties can be coordinated. The Disaster Mitigation Bill is expected to be ratified this year, so it can be implemented during disaster, and the impact will not be massive. And listener, that was today's commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Today in History. We start from an event on February 21, 1965, when Malcolm X was killed. On February 21, 1965, Malcolm X, an activist and African-American Muslim figure, was killed in New York City. Malcolm was declared dead after being shot by three men. One of the shooters, a member of the Nation of Islam organization, was arrested. He claimed at the court of being one of the shooters, but he refused to identify other attackers. Next event was on February 21, 1972, when Luna 20 landed on the moon. Luna 20 was the second most successful mission of the three spacecraft on the moon by Soviet Union. It entered the moon orbit on February 18, 1972, and on February 21, 1972, Luna 20 landed on the hill area of the moon that was known as Terra Apollonius. When returning to the Earth on February 22, 1972, Luna 20 succeeded to carry out 30-gram sample of the moon sand and stones that was collected in sealed capsule. Finally, Luna 20 succeeded to land in the Soviet Union on February 25, 1972. The last event is on International Mother's Language Day. International Mother's Language Day is commemorated every February 21st to enhance awareness on diversity of linguistic, culture, and multilingualism. The day was commemorated for the first time on February 21st, 2000, although formally it was determined in the UN Assembly through resolution which was issued in 2008. The commemoration was proposals of Rafiqul Islam, a resident of Bengali who stayed in Vancouver, Canada. He wrote a letter to Secretary General of the United States, Kofi Annan, on January 9, 1998, to preserve all languages throughout the world that endangered. He proposed the commemoration of International Mother Language Day every 21st, along with Language Movement Remembrance Day in Bangladesh, to remember demonstration that killed people in Dhaka on February 21, 1952, in a bid to protect language of Bengali as national language. That was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Oh,
Thank you very much. You are still with us in the Voice of Indonesia. Next information will be in My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is titled Indonesia has contribution on climate change control 2030. The Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry said Indonesia is committed to contribute to the work related to climate change control in 2030 in an effort to prevent the rise of 2 degrees Celsius temperature. Director General of Climate Change Control Ruanda Agung Sukardiman in Jakarta on Tuesday said that the prevention effort is conducted by mitigating greenhouse gas emission to 29% through a single effort and 41% with the support of foreign assistance. This commitment has been conveyed in nationally determined contribution or a contribution which is determined nationally. This is an important part of Paris Agreement that has been ratified by Indonesia in 2016. Ruanda Agung Sukardiman also said that the government is also committed to increase economic, social and livelihood security, as well as ecosystem and landscape security. Therefore, the government has taken several policies related to the commitment through preparation of regulation and the implementation of direct programs in the community, including Climate Village program. Sukardiman also stated that main obstacle in the climate change is to mention about climate change in common languages, thereby it can be easily accepted by wider community. Currently, the government keeps implementing mainstreaming and integration of climate change and disaster into development planning, both at the national or regional level. Moreover, document of the 2020-2024 National Midterm Development Plan, which was determined through Presidential Decree No. 18-2020, reflects the government's great attention on the climate change. This can be seen from one of the chapters, which especially discusses about environment, disaster, and climate change security. However, the efforts of climate change control cannot only be done by the government, but it also needs the private role, non-governmental organizations, NGOs, academicians, and community. In addition, bilateral and multilateral cooperation should also be conducted to encourage the climate change control in Indonesia. That was My Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Tiada kata yang dapat ku ucap saat kau pergi. Ku hanya diam menatap langkahmu meninggalkan kita. Aku tahu pasti ada tantangan yang berat di setiap perjalanan yang hebat. Takkan berakhir di sini, semuanya akan jadi lebih baik. Walau kita tidak lagi berlari bersama lagi, tetapi doaku ini ini selalu untukmu. Sampai suatu hari nanti kita akan bersama lagi berbagi cerita terbaik dari hidup ini. Hanya diam menatap langkahmu meninggalkan kita. Pasti ada tantangan yang berat di setiap perjalanan yang hebat. Takkan berakhir di sini, semuanya akan jadi.
You are still with us in the English service from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next will be about our tourism or maybe our local tradition. Here is the Indonesian Wonder.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I introduce you to Gumuk Pasir Parangkusumo in Yogyakarta. Gumuk Pasir Parangkusumo is a sand dune which is usually located near beaches and naturally form in long period of time. Interestingly, there are only two sand dunes in the world, namely in Mexico and Parangkusumo Beach, Bantul, Yogyakarta. Gumuk Pasir Parangkusumo is a rare and very amazing natural phenomenon. Currently, the sea becomes a favorite tourism destination in Yogyakarta. The existence of Gumuk Pasir Parangkusumo directly related with the existence of Mount Merapi, which is located in the north of Yogyakarta city. This was because Mount Merapi erupted with tremendous superpower long time ago, so that volcanic content consisted of sand and dust scattering throughout Yogyakarta. Gradually, due to the Mount Merapi is located in the north and on higher land, its volcanic material then brought by rain and river stream and empties into the south coast. Once arriving at the south coast, the volcanic material met ferocious waves of the southern sea, so that the volcanic material crumbled into small particles and eventually carried by the wind to an area and formed Gumuk Pasir Parangkusumo. Suddenly, this natural phenomenon lasted very long time, even until now. Visit to Gumuk Pasir Parangkusumo, you can do various activities in accordance with your hobbies. The most favorite activity is gliding on the sandbar using a board. It is like snowboarding but using different media. The location of Gumuk Pasir Parangkusumo can be accessed easily since it is located at popular tourism object of Parang Tritis Beach. The location is quite far from the center of Yogyakarta city, but the access to go to the site is pretty good. That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder featuring Gumuk Pasir Parangkusumo in Yogyakarta. I'm Nuka Kusmawati. Thank you very much for listening. I'll see you in the next Indonesian Wonder.
Thank you. You are still with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World. More interesting information about Indonesia will be coming up next. The next one will be Miss Eleni.
Listeners, welcome back in our regular segment, Miss Eleni. In today's edition, we present you information on CLUE Application International Award. Stay with us at www.voinews.id. Clue Application Achieve Best IoT Startup Award in Asian Rice Bowl Startup Awards 2019 at Sasana Kijang, Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia in February. Clue is one application which is integrated with Jakarta Smart City in a form of social media which invites people's participation to report complaint and awareness on surrounding areas. With the application, Jakartans can report the complaint on environmental conditions such as garbage, flood, traffic jam, road damage, fire, and many others. In addition, every report can be monitored in its progress to ensure all complaints which are conveyed to be followed up. Chief Executive Officers of Clue, Rama Raditya, explains that since the first time the Clue was established, the Clue has always given technological solutions to support smart city ecosystems based on artificial intelligence, Internet of Things, and mobile workforce, which is valued to make the residents, governments, and entrepreneur easy to work effectively. He also explained that the Clue has been functioning at a number of countries such as in Singapore, Malaysia, Thailand, Vietnam, Taipei, Spain, and some other European countries. He is also optimistic that the Clue can keep developing its business throughout the world. The award also increases the Clue's capability to enter international market, which will represent Indonesia and Asia in global level. Meanwhile, Chairman of Asian Rice Bowl Startup Awards and New Entrepreneurs Foundation, Hamdi Mokhtar, explained the reason why his site presented the award to the Clue, because the application created by Indonesians has succeeded to develop smart city ecosystem. According to Hamdi, the Clue does not stop innovating application of people's reports, and it also becomes the most complete smart city ecosystem provider in Indonesia and Asia. He hopes that the Clue can continuously represent Indonesia and Asia in global startup awards to compete with various startups throughout the world. That was our segment for today, Miss Lenny. Thanks for listening.
Walau apa hatiku selamanya. Aku sangat mencintaimu, ku kan setia untukmu, selalu menjagamu. Oh, 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 oh. Aku sangat menyayangimu sepenuh hati. Sakit hatimu kan ku obati, sedih dan senangku bersamamu. Setiap langkahku mencintaimu. Walau apapun yang menghalangi, sayangku takkan pernah berubah. Hanya kamu di hatiku selamanya. Aku sangat mencintaimu, ku kan setia untukmu, selalu menjaga.
Listener, you are still with us in the English service from Voice of Indonesia. More from Indonesia will be coming up next.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to the regular music corner. Today, we will present you a nostalgic song titled Ingatkah Kau Padaku by Iis Sugiarti. The debut singing career of Iis Sugiarti began when she released the album Di Sini Aku Menanti in 1985. With the leading song titled Di Sini Aku Menanti, she gained popularity among the music lovers in Indonesia. The second album of Iis Sugiarti titled Ingatkah Kau Padaku was also successfully produced and booming. This album has a leading song with the same title to the album, which was released in 1986. The song tells a story of a woman who misses her ex-lover, while the man is now happily with another. Listener, let us listen to the song Ingatkah Kau Padaku. Happy listening.
Dengan memutar radio.
Voice of Indonesia.
Yeah.
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you.
It is almost 1 hour. We are accompanying you with more information and also more music from our country. And if you can send it, well, do not hesitate, just send it. Send it your question, suggestion, criticism, or anything. You can send it to our email, voi@voanews.id, or our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia. Well then, listener, I'm Stefan Islau. Thank you very much for listening. Stay tuned in The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.